In a world where roughly 95 to 99% of dishes in American homes are machine-made, Abigail, with Taste and See Ceramics, is putting the clay back in the potter's hands. Hand-thrown and hand-glazed during nap time and bedtime, each mug is made with care and purpose. Inspired by the Proverbs 31 woman, Abigail has set a goal to sell 3,000 mugs in 2026. Support their family business at tasteandseeceramics.com or find them on Instagram and Facebook. Use code 3000 for 10% off your order and to be added to the list of people who make this dream a reality. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Becky and I are here today to talk more about hospitality and try to get through more of your questions. Last week, we did a great job only getting through one. So we'll see how many we can get through today, but we don't have Kate with us. So right. I don't know if that will make us faster or slower. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows what this change in dynamic will do to us? But she's got sick kids and no, she's sick and Audrey's sick. Well. So yeah, they aren't at school today. So you want to just dive right in?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, tell about the planner to make sure everybody knows that's out and everything.
Yeah. So the 2026 Keeping Home Planner, it has released. We actually, all of the pre-orders are claimed right now. But by the time that this podcast releases or this episode releases, hopefully we'll have the next direct print and ship option open. So
cool.
But that has released, and there's a few changes this year that I'm really excited about. We kept everything the same, except I got a lot of feedback saying that the recipe location wasn't used very often, and people requested that be a grocery list.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. So this year, it's in the same place, so instead of the recipe location, it just says grocery list.
Mm-hmm.
And then another change is someone suggested, Heather from Keeping the Citadel, suggested a goals page at each month. So on the left-hand side of your monthly spread, it will have spiritual goals, health goals, relationship goals, other, and then there's two more categories that are now skipping my mind, but there's a monthly goal page so that you can set your goals at the beginning of the year and then each month look back to those and kind of see, okay, how am I doing? What baby steps do I want to take this year to reach those goals, to work towards those things like that. So I'm really excited about that.
I love that.
It'll be really, really cool.
You and I even talked about whenever we first started our working out and all of that, which we're doing great.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's totally sarcastic. But anyways, I just had a page that I was keeping every day that was like how much water I drank, how much protein I was eating, how long I slept the night before, and time spent restfully.
Yeah.
And just having those little goals for my day of just, I am trying to be intentional about these things. It was helpful just to have it written down. So I love it that that's going to be in the planner now. Just a little space for things like, I know this will help me in my life. These are some goals that I have, small or big.
Right.
So that's cool.
Really easy to set goals at the beginning of the year. And then you get to the end of the year and you look back at your goals and go, wow, I really quit like in January.
I know.
Because you don't think about it as much and you think, oh, I forgot that that was going to be a goal that I was going to work towards or just something I was going to be mindful of in my relationships or mindful of as I'm teaching the kids or things like that. And so I'm excited for that page. I think that'll be really great.
Last year at the beginning of the year, I said that I was only going to read books from our own personal library and that lasted maybe 2 weeks. I read some books from our own personal library, but then I heard about a book and I was like, ooh, I think it was Kristen Lovin's daughter and Mallory told me about it and she had it. I think I borrowed it from her. And then it just broke this window of I can only read books from my own library because it's all Mallory's fault. She gave me the book to read, I think is what happened.
Yeah.
She let me borrow it. And then I was like, oh, well, I've already read it. So
Might as well just keep reading it.
Yeah. But I did read a lot. We just have so many good books in our own home library. And a lot of them I have not read because we pick them up at thrift stores and estate sales.
Like this one. Oh, thank you.
And sorry, Becky had a hair on her face.
I was trying to get it and I was missing. And Jordan's like, I
it's
see
right
it.
There.
Let me fix that.
So, yeah, we have all these great books that we've picked up along the way that we're like, we know we want to have A Tale of Two Cities in our library.
Right.
But I've not read it and I want to read it. So I need to take a year. Maybe I'll try that again. 2026. I'm saying it out loud. So the window will be stronger.
Or maybe what you should do is say, I'm going to read 10 books from our library.
You're right. That
and
be
just,
better.
You know, baby yeah. steps. I think
baby
you're
steps.
Trying to eat an elephant.
Right.
In one bite.
Only
do it one
books.
Bite at a time.
Yeah. And then I hear about things and then I'm like, I have to read that book.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
I get it.
What are you reading right now? Anything?
What
fun?
Am I reading? I just finished a book. It was good. It was called The Rose and the Thistle. It was good. It's kind of a romancy book. It was by a Christian author. It didn't have anything bad in it, but it was so slow moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a historical fiction, which typically I really enjoy. And I didn't not enjoy it. It was just a very slow plot. And it was one of those things where I was like, if you guys would just communicate and be grown ups,
it would all be done.
All of this would be done. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of internal monologue. And so it wasn't my favorite. So I just finished that one. And then, last night I started, why can't I think of the title right now? It's Jennifer Rothschild.
Oh,
biography.
Oh, Tales.
Lessons I Learned in the Dark.
Yeah. Tales I've Learned in the Dark.
Tales I've Learned. Lessons I've Learned in the Dark. And it so far is really good. I'm only 50 pages in.
I should get my mom that for Christmas.
It's very good so
I've already
far.
Read her things, but she would like that.
Yeah, it's
that's
very
cool.
good.
Cool.
What are you reading?
A book that you would hate.
Okay.
Don't read it. I know you well enough to know you would not like it.
Is it scary?
No, okay. Kind of. Not really. Not to me, but you would hate it.
Okay.
It's by Ronald Dahl, which is a author that I loved as a child, like all the BFG and all those, Charlie and Chocolate Factory. But a lot of people don't like him because it's like a dark twist on kids' mm-hmm. books and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that because I've always kind of enjoyed that kind of genre and theme in literature. But I don't know why I like that. Mm-hmm. It might be kind of weird about me. Maybe I should more think deeply about why I like that. But I've always loved, I love James and the Giant Peach. I love all of them. I love Ronald Dahl. And so I got one of his books from the library that is his adult books. This is not a child book. It's called Tales from the Unexpected. Tales of the Unexpected, something like that. But they're one chapter stories. So just short stories.
Yeah.
And they're all like unexpected endings, like weird, mind-bendy. If you like the Twilight Zone, you would like them.
Okay.
Like just mystery, some murder mysteries, some just weird.
Yeah.
Yes. Some just weird. They're all very weird, but I love them.
That's
so
good.
If you're a person who likes that kind of mystery, they're not gory. They're not gory or like horror weird, but they are a little mind-bendy.
Yeah,
I want to tell you one of them, but it might give you nightmares.
It might.
It's not that scary, but it would maybe bother you.
It would probably.
Yeah.
There was my sister-in-law one day, she was telling me the plot of this book, and I was like, it's too much, it's too much. She's like, no, it's really fine, it's really fine.
You're like,
she's
no, I'm panicking. Just tell it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just telling me the plot. And then that night I had nightmares.
And that's why I'm not going to tell you. I know this would be too much for you.
And Brandon was like, that was too much. I was like, I know, but she wanted to tell me and I wanted to hear about it, but
you're so sweet.
I couldn't handle it.
Woman.
I couldn't handle it.
But you also couldn't make it through Downton Abbey, right?
Oh,
like
no.
Downton Abbey was too much.
Episode 4, The Dead Turk. I was done.
Yeah.
I was done. I couldn't. I saw.
See, it's so sad. It's so sad that you couldn't get past that part.
It's also super fresh postpartum.
Yeah. Well, that's too much.
You know, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Dead person in the bed is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his face was just right there.
And dead. Ew. His face was just so dead.
It's still in my mind. Oh, I'm going to have nightmares because we talked about this.
Let's change the topic.
Oh, so before we jump into hospitality, I just thought of one other thing about the planner too.
Okay.
Sorry to slingshot you guys back to that, but one part of the planner I'm very excited about this year. So this is our fourth year doing the planner. And the last few years, I've always timed the verses to be, and this is probably just something that I noticed because I create it, but I time it to go with this season.
Mm-hmm.
So like in October, they're all the solas. It's mm-hmm. all the five solas. And then in January, it's all about new life. And then December is Christmas things. And this year, I actually selected entire psalms. And if you choose to use them like memory verses, you will have memorized, I think it's 7 full psalms by the end of the year.
That's cool.
It's 7 or 8. I can't remember how. I kind of tweaked around with them, so I can't remember how many I settled on. But and you'll have memorized entire psalms by the end of the year.
We should do that as a church group too. Just say anybody who's getting the planner, let's memorize these together.
That would be fun.
That. Okay, so let's hop in. The second question that we had, well, that I have written down at least, is excuses of not having enough money or time to be hospitable.
Okay.
So do you want to say what you think about that first or me?
I'll let you go first
so,
think about it.
Yeah, because I wrote down a little bit of notes as I was writing down the questions, just what I thought of. But my thought is I don't really understand the excuse of not having enough money for hosting because you're going to eat anyway.
Right.
And in my mind, whenever we're doing hospitality, it's usually a joint effort. Like if I'm having someone over for dinner, they're usually offering to bring something. And I'm usually saying, sure, I'll make this, you make this. And it's never just me, unless it's like a birthday party. I'm never like doing the entire meal from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of a group effort. So I don't really get the not having enough money thing. And also there's just so many cheap meals that you can make. So I just don't really understand that.
I think it's a cop out.
Well, it totally is. I'm just being nice about the way I'm saying that.
Not to be insensitive, but I think it's a cop out. I think saying you don't have enough time or you don't have enough money, then you're looking for a reason to not show hospitality when we have been commanded to be hospitable to one another.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's in Ephesians. It says, be hospitable, show hospitality to one another. So there are commands in scripture to be hospitable, saying I can't be hospitable because I have these, parameters is not a valid excuse.
I was going to ask chat how much it costs to feed 12 people with rice and beans, but I'm scared that I'm going to mess up the recording.
Oh, okay.
But I bet it's low. Okay.
And I think if you're saying I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, if your excuse is I don't have enough time, then you need to reevaluate your priorities and shift something. Or, I mean, if your family's eating dinner, then you have time.
Yeah.
If your family is, and like you said, if your family is eating, then you have enough money too. There are so many cheap meals you can do. You can always...
It's very easy to say, we're having taco bowls, and you make rice and beans, mm-hmm. and say, can you bring lettuce, sour cream, and cheese?
Right.
And you're having taco bowls.
I think sometimes people overthink it, too, and think, well, and we talked about this in a couple episodes ago, but they think hospitality has to be this grand feast, and it can be a simple meal
mm-hmm.
shared in fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it has to be. And it doesn't even have to be a meal.
Mm-hmm.
You can have people say, hey, I want to have you guys over for coffee and coffee cake.
Mm-hmm.
Make a coffee cake.
Mm-hmm.
It's so quick. It's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a foolproof recipe because you just toss it all in a bowl. You don't even have to have skills. You can't even say I don't have enough cooking skills. You can just toss it all in a bowl and pop it in the oven, So I think there are so many creative ways that you can do that. I don't see that as an excuse ever. Other than like, I just had a baby.
Yeah. And we get into that in later questions.
There are times like that where you're like,
yeah, this is just like a no excuse.
Right.
We're not saying that there's legitimacy to it. You're just saying like, we don't have money and time.
Right.
If
that is your excuse.
Yes. Yeah. And the not having time situation.
Yeah.
Like you said, if your family is eating dinner, you have time. And of course, there are seasons where you need to prioritize time with your family. Maybe you've been in a really busy season. You need to pull back and just have some family time, and that's fine. But if this is just your ongoing excuse of we don't have time, well, maybe you're prioritizing things that aren't a biblical command, and you need to start prioritizing things that are a biblical command mm-hmm. to you. And also, sorry, I'm drinking this iced coffee and I feel like I'm a frog in my throat.
Oh.
Jared's going to have to edit out so many coughs. Hold on. So basically, you have time for what you want to do. You make time for what you want to do. Do you have time to drink your coffee in the morning? Because you want to do it. But you don't have time to read your Bible in the morning because maybe it's not really a desire for you and you need to pray and ask God to change your desires. So you need to evaluate what's going on in your heart and maybe repent of some laziness or some selfishness and try again. Because it's not that you don't have enough money.
Right.
I mean, unless you are like homeless living on the streets, you have enough money.
Yeah.
You have enough money to feed your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the time situation is just a priority situation.
Yeah.
So I don't really see that as legitimate at all.
Mm-hmm.
You make time for what you want.
Right. And just as an example, my oldest sister has 8 children. They all accept two of them because the youngest two are obviously not in activities. They're all in a different activity. She participates and serves in church in multiple ways and is still one of the most hospitable women I've ever met in my life. Even if they have a million things going on, she says, yes, please come over. Mm. Please come stay at my house for 3 days. Please come, you know, and I hear her all the time, even when I'm just at church with her visiting. I hear her say, do you guys want to come over for lunch? I'll make extra, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know that that stretches them sometimes financially. It stretches her physically as far as just trying to get all of the needs met. But it's always a blessing to the people that she reaches out to and serves and loves. And so, and keep that in mind too. Hospitality is always a blessing to you. That's always, you're missing out on a blessing, and you're missing out on being a blessing to other people if you're closed-handed with the things that the Lord gave you. Your time, your money, your abilities, those are all gifts that God has given you. Don't squander them by not being hospitable to other people because you want to make excuses.
Yeah. What is the verse, better is a meal of herbs than...
Yep. I actually had that in regards to one of the other questions too, but yeah, better is a meal of, it's like
bitter herbs than quarreling.
Yeah. We're really butchering.
I'm scared that I'm going to mess up the recording if I Google things.
I'll find it. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox with hatred with it.
Yeah.
And hatred with it.
Yeah.
So serve a dinner of herbs. It can be rice and beans.
Well, I think, the point of hospitality is love. You want to have love for one another and good fellowship. And it's not about the most nutrient-dense meal that you could make or the most culinary, exquisite dish that you could present, but it's about showing love and giving God's love to other people and inviting them into the love that you have in your home. Mm-hmm. So just seeing it as that, seeing it in the right perspective, and then evaluating priorities.
Yeah.
Would be my answer to that.
100%.
And I think that goes along too with like not bringing things to small group, not bringing things to potlucks or something and saying that you like can't afford it or something. That's always odd to me.
Yeah.
Like you're eating all the food.
Right.
Were you not going to cook at home tonight? I just don't get it when people are like have that excuse for certain meal situations. But yeah, I know that there's times and seasons where money is tight.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that that's not a reality. It absolutely is for a lot of people. And we've been in situations like that before. Mm-hmm. But there are many cheap things that you can bring.
There are still ways that you can be creative with what the Lord has you to turn a profit on it and use it to bless other people.
Yeah.
There are still things that you can do. Whatever he's given you are the tools that you have in your tool belt. Be creative with them and use them well. Don't squander them by holding on. It's kind of that, like that prophet or the parable of the talents. Like, I'm going to hold on to this talent that I've been given and bury it in the ground because, you know, I know that he's a strict master. Well, no, turn a profit on it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a small profit, even if you are bringing a big thing of mashed potatoes. Okay, great.
Yeah.
You brought a big thing of mashed potatoes. A 10-pound bag of mashed potatoes is like, what, $5?
I don't know. I love mashed potatoes, something like that.
That's a great blessing.
Potatoes are a wonderful blessing.
Who doesn't like mashed potatoes?
My kids, they're weird. They gag.
What?
They gag. It's a texture problem. I don't know what they have weird. It's their dad's fault. But all of them like try to like it. And all of them are like, bleh. As soon as it gets in their mouth and they try to like chew a mashed potato and they're like, bleh.
If you're trying to be hospitable to the Sparks, don't bring mashed potatoes.
But bring some for me, because I don't get to ever have them.
No. I'm always happy when there's mashed potatoes. I'm like, oh, yay. Never get to see these.
And also trusting that there are promises for being generous.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, the word has many promises about being generous and God giving back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, being stingy and greedy with your resources is not a way to get further in life.
Our memory verse this week for the kids at school. The kids at school.
Oh my God. Are you talking about your children?
My children. I'm talking about my children. The kids at school.
Yes, the kids at school.
Oh my goodness.
Hold on. Probably just told someone last night that someone asked her if she likes school. And she's like, we haven't done school in a long time. We don't do school anymore. And I'm looking at her like, what are you talking about? You just did school this morning. And she was talking about when she went to school on Tuesdays at Cornerstone Reform.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know that what we do every day is school, right?
Yeah.
Like, no,
She's, no, we're not going to a building.
I haven't been to school in years.
You're poor, uneducated yes, children. Oh, man. So the children at school this week, at the school in my kitchen, our memory burst this week for school was whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the promises in scripture for when you are hospitable and show love to other people, the Lord will bless you in that. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just the blessing of knowing that those people are loved and cared for, that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking a lot about what it means to be generous with other people and generous with their time, generous with their efforts, all of that this week. And it's been very sweet to see the kids go, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we?
Right.
Why wouldn't, you know.
Give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured into your bosom. I think mm-hmm. it is, or something like that.
Yeah.
And that verse has been stolen from solid biblical Christians because the prosperity gospel has made it mean that anytime you give something that you're going to be a millionaire or get a Porsche, and they've stole it. Now we can't appreciate that verse. And it's like, no, that is still ours mm-hmm. as believers. We are God's children, and he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And if we are in need, he provides for us always without question. He provides for our needs. Mm-hmm. So don't think that because you're in a time of not plenty mm-hmm. that you cannot be generous, because you have a father that owns everything and he's generous with you mm-hmm. and he tells you to be generous and to give, and it will be given back to you.
Right.
So be a blessing. Mm-hmm. Don't think that you can have these excuses of not having enough time or money and that you could just get to not do anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think that covers that one. What do you think? Anything else for that one?
No, I think that's good.
Okay. Oh, this is an interesting one. I like this. Okay. What about the idea that the house doesn't have to be clean? It's more of like a come as you are, accept us as we are, love our Cheerios on the floor, just come waller in the mud with us.
No, that's not part of the question. I just added that.
I was going to say, I don't remember reading waller in the mud with us. But, you know, just that whole idea that was, I feel like it was popular a few years ago, but some people have held on to it as like a, I like that.
Yeah.
Just kind of like this, just come on.
Well, I think so. I think you can see it from two perspectives. So one, you can use that as an excuse to keep your home poorly.
Right.
Right. And that's, I think, what this person was getting at mm-hmm. when they submitted this question. But you can use that as an excuse of like, well, this is real life. Well, in real life, you probably should vacuum your floors. You know, you shouldn't use that as an excuse to keep your home poorly. However, I think you can also pendulum swing to the opposite side where you're like, people can't come over. I can't be hospitable because I haven't scrubbed my baseboards this week.
Yeah. Or because there's laundry that needs to be
folded. Or there's laundry that needs to be folded.
Somewhere
or
in my home, and they might walk into that room and find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, or I'm sorry, I cannot have
people. There's dishes in the sink. No one can enter. You know, I remember one time we were hosting and Brandon and I had just gotten married. We had a small little apartment, and people were getting ready to come over. I'd been working all day because I was working outside of the home full time at that point. And I was panicking because these college students were going to come over and I had dishes in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And how dare I have dishes in the sink? And Brandon goes, I'm pretty sure they know we eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be okay. But the rest of the house was in good order. I didn't get to that before they came over. And it's not like the dishes had been there for days and days and days.
There was no
aroma. It was like our breakfast dishes right. that were tossed in the sink on our way to work, you know. So
there was no aroma.
My brain.
No pungent odors.
My brain just registered that. That's funny.
But
so I think you have to, you can't pendulum swing to
yes.
either side.
Yes.
It's not okay to say, oh, just come as you are, walk into our muck because I'm being slothful and don't want to take care of the things that the Lord has given me. And we're going to say that that's fine because this is what quote unquote hospitality looks like. However, I think you also shouldn't pendulum swing to the other side of no one can enter unless my home is pristine and on a show mm-hmm. and, you know, like on a silver platter. So, yeah. Do you
struggle with this one way or the other?
Do I what?
Do you struggle with this one way or the other? Mm-hmm. Let's just open your heart.
All right.
Heart to us.
Here's all my faults, guys. It's going to be a while. Too bad we only have 15 minutes. We'll continue my faults next week. But I pendulum swing to perfectionism.
Yeah.
And I think some of it comes from insecurity. Mm-hmm. Some of it comes from, that's what I saw modeled, was we were going to open our home when everything was in a good space. And so I think I can very easily swing to that. And sometimes, honestly, having a page called Keeping Home sometimes can trip me up a little bit.
Sure.
To be like, well, if there is laundry,
certain expectations
that nobody has put on me, but I've put on myself. And Brandon has reminded me time and time again, you began this Instagram and this as an encouragement to women that our homes are meant to be lived in. And there's a way to keep them well that are lived in.
Yes.
You know, there, you don't have to have your home pristine and perfect all the time, because that's not lived in. That's stressful to everybody. Mm-hmm. If everything is just, you know, 100% checked off, all the baseboards are always wiped down, everything is always perfect. I don't know why my brain keeps defaulting
to baseboards. Is there a problem with your baseboards at home, Becky? That's just one of those chores. It's like, just, if your baseboards are done, you're really on top of it.
Then you're really on top of it.
Ceiling fans like, dusted.
Oh, yeah. That's like cherry on top of your home is now perfect. But that is my tendency. And I have to fight that when I have people over of they are not looking at all of these tiny little details. They're not going to be running a finger along my shelves to see the last time I dusted. However, if they were to do that, they should not find years of dust.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But that is my, what's your leaning?
Of course that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know me.
I know.
That's just for everybody.
For all of you out there.
Becky knows. I struggle with, my brain is a noticing brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the kind of brain that, like, when I look at her, like, being in the, we're in a recording room right now that Becky and I are both like, let's organize this room a little bit and get it all functioning well, because there's some things that could be put away and stuff. And I have a brain that when I am in my home, I notice all the things that should be done. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to draw a line of where's the stop.
Right.
Where is the things that should be done just for people coming over, like the bathroom being clean,
right.
You know,
right.
The table being wiped off, the floors not being horrendous, you know,
right.
And the couch not having crumbs on it. Things that make time together less distracting,
right,
and more enjoyable. Like, please sit on my couch without having to brush crumbs off of it. You know, things like that. That's like, those are the things that probably are, you know, it would be helpful, a hospitality checklist. Like, these are things that if you're having people over, these are the things. You know, it's not the things, weeding the ditch. You know, like the things that it's like, you might, if you have a brain like mine, you're noticing that the baseboards need to be clean. The ditch is really, the riprap in the ditch is all real weedy. And everyone's definitely going to notice that when they come over, you know.
We were getting ready to host small group this fall. And it was after we had lost a baby and I had not been in the garden. I hadn't been in the backyard. And it looked like, you know, the wild just took over.
Yeah.
And Brandon had been mowing the lawn, but I do like the landscaping and all of that. We're getting ready to have a small group for the first time hosting since losing Nathaniel. And so I was like, that garden's got to be taken care of.
They're all
right now
out there.
They're going to judge my garden. Not a single soul in our small group is judging my garden by how overgrown it is.
It's tucked back. Like, they would have to go on a tour of the backyard.
Really? We thought we would be hosting outside.
Oh, okay.
So I spent hours tucking in the garden and getting all this stuff done, and which was great. Those things needed to happen. But guess what? It rained. And we were inside.
Of course.
Why did I spend hours
doing
that?
And you were probably tired. And like, hosting is so hard because you did all those things that weren't necessary for that time of hosting, probably. So I struggle with knowing what is necessary for this time of hosting and what is kind of me being insane. And feeling like I have to go way too far for hosting. And that's probably why I struggle with hospitality sometimes, because it feels overwhelming and big and hard, because it's on my own fault. And I notice way too much, and I think way too much. And also, my brain, I enjoy being creative. Mm-hmm. So with the meal, I enjoy thinking of all the things that I could do, and I push myself too far, and then I'm tired, and it was a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do all that stuff.
Mm-mm.
And you don't have to, you listeners, you out there, you don't have to do all those things. We can just be thankful for the people that are coming over and thankful that we get to spend time together, because that's what it's about. Let's spend time together. Let's talk. Let's look in each other's eyeballs and let's have community. And let's not be so distracted by the workload that it took to get there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my struggle is the perfectionism side. So I think that it's important to have your house clean, because as Christians, as a culture, we should be a people of order.
Right.
God created us in a world that is ordered. Mm-hmm. And just like, I love thinking about this. My dad's a science teacher, and he has told me this before, just about how God created a self-cleaning world.
Yeah.
And about how he doesn't leave roadkill out, but like he created the vultures and the animals that come, and they're the cleanup crew.
Yeah.
And even the woods, when a tree falls down, there's bacteria and fungi that come and decompose the tree and clean up the forest.
Yeah.
And how we live in this world that is so ordered that it remains beautiful, if not tampered with, you know?
Right.
And how we as Christians, we should be modeling this world of order and beauty and healing, and that we should be people that are bringing more and more and more of that as we continue on with this creation mandate, that we are going forth, we're multiplying, we're subduing the earth, and we're doing it in a beautiful, creative, ordered, you know, clean way. You know what I mean?
Right.
That we as a culture, like, is it Holland? Let me try to think. The Dutch. Hold on. Jared, edit this and make me not sound dumb. I just read about this recently because Jared and I were talking about it. I wish I could Google things. And I think it was the Reformed Dutch.
Okay.
That they were known as this very clean people. That they were always, it was like a part of their culture was the scrubbing of the stoop and the cleaning of the houses, and they had large windows, and their houses were always very ordered. Mm-hmm. And even the artwork of that time portrayed them as this very ordered, clean people. And because of that, they had like less mortality rates during some of the plagues. And it's just a lot of interesting things about them.
Mm-hmm.
But in history, it is tied back to their beliefs that they were doing this for a God that created them with a certain order and expectation. And so anyways, I think just a long rabbit trail to say that as Christians, we should value cleanliness and that we shouldn't be slothful.
Right.
And that we should want to present ourselves, present our families, present our homes in a way that is orderly and beautiful.
Yeah, I think what can be difficult, and I think this was another question that, and I think this had the other question I'm thinking of was kind of multifaceted, so we can hit on that another
time. Fighting perfectionism.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, maybe. Fighting perfectionism and hosting when you have like a history of people who have been critical towards you.
Yeah. Yes, I was thinking of that one. And that's such a hard place to be in. And I've been in that place before. And honestly, when it comes to that, keep your home well.
Yeah.
And if somebody's going to come into your home and look at it with a critical eye and be nitpicky and unkind about it, that's between them and the Lord.
Yes,
that
absolutely
is not you, that needs to be water off a duck's back to you. That there's should not weigh you down at all.
There's so two sides to this coin, because yes, we are people who work as it unto the Lord. We keep our things for God's glory, and we are working to the Lord. But then not falling into the eyes of men and working for these critical people in our life, because that's a huge temptation, that when you're having people into your home, if it's like, well, I know that they have a temptation to say certain things or do certain things, if it's family members or whatever, just it, like you said, exactly, it is between them and the Lord, because that is a sin issue on their part.
Right.
And don't let their sin affect your joy and hospitality.
Yes, 100%. And you also, you can't control their actions, but you can control your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You can continue to be loving and kind while also talk with your husband and set boundaries and say, okay, this is, maybe we're not going to have this person over all the time, and just gear yourself up, you know, and just say, okay, they're probably going to come over and they're probably going to have something critical to say, especially if it's a family member. It's not like you can't spend time with them, you know, like that's just such a tricky dynamic, but just kind of protect your heart and kind of gear your heart up and say, okay, this person's coming over today. They're probably going to be critical. And I know in my heart of hearts that I am keeping my home well.
Right.
My children are happy. They are loved. They are cared for. I am doing all these things for the glory of God. And if they come in with a critical spirit, that the Lord will deal with that in his own time and in his own way. And honestly, from my experience with bitter and judgmental and critical people, they're very unhappy.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
That is not Yeah, they're very unhappy people, and oftentimes there's other things going on in their heart and mind at the time that the Lord's just going to have to work on.
Yes.
In his own timing and in his own way. And if they're a believer, you can pray. I mean, you can pray for them even if they're not a believer. But if they're a believer, pray that the Lord will convict them of that. Pray that the Lord will change their heart and will soften them. And I know that if, especially as a believer, they're not your enemy. Even if it's I think in this example, what was it? Critical mother-in-law, I think. Critical family member, pray that the Lord will work in them and pray that the Lord will grow your love for them and show ways that you can still show love and be kind to them.
Yeah.
But it is such a really, that's a tricky, tricky thing. Yeah.
It can be very painful, very painful, and affect you deeply as a person that's hosting and make you not want to do it. It makes you want to be like, no, my home is my safe place. I'm not inviting these people in who are mean to me and mean to my family. And you have to just remember that this isn't for them.
Right.
It isn't for them. You're doing this for the Lord. And just trying to see past the comment that they made into what's going on in their heart. And maybe asking God to give you those eyes to see that kind of thing, because that is a supernatural thing.
Right.
That that he can help you to be able to really see to the heart of the matter and see past this hurtful thing that they're saying and doing. And give you compassion for them, because they typically are a very unhappy people. If you're a person that is only seeing the negative in what someone is doing for you or doing in front of you or whatever, then it's usually a person that has some things going on that are very sad. So maybe praying for compassion and all that.
For sure.
Oh, I was going to share this one thing. So there was a season in my life that I very much struggled with a critical individual, and it was very hard for me. And I prayed about it quite a lot. And I just remember this one day that God freed me from it. And it was, have you ever had a situation where you just felt like it was eating your lunch? Like you couldn't get it out of your brain. And you're just like, why are they doing this? Why? What have I done? Yeah. What is it that, you know, what do they not like about my family or whatever? You just like, it just eats your lunch. And just praying and praying that God would deliver me from that, that I did not want to deal with almost an obsession of why this person was mean to me. And just wanting to let it go. And I remember driving to my brother's one morning and thinking about it again and praying. And I just audibly said out loud, why do I care? Why do I care? And then I was thinking, wait, do I really care? If this person really doesn't like me, do I actually care? Does it actually affect my life in any way other than the fact that I'm allowing it to eat my lunch?
Right.
No, I actually don't care. Mm-hmm. And just maybe getting to that point where you care about them as a human,
right,
and you're praying for them, but you don't care if they think that you are a bad cook or a bad housekeeper or a bad mother. It's like, who really cares? You know the work that you are doing.
Yeah.
You know if you're being faithful or not. God knows if you're being faithful or not. And you're working for God's eyes. And that's who you are trying to please. Who cares? Who cares? You have to get that thick skin. And it has to be given from God.
Right.
Because there are times when it isn't there and you're feeling very vulnerable and sensitive and hurt, and you have to get that who cares moment. Like, do I care? No, actually, I don't care. I don't care at all. Don't like me for the rest of my life. I don't really care. So anyways, maybe praying that God would give you a do I care moment.
Yeah. And you can also, when a claim is made, you can ask your husband and say, is there validity to this?
Right.
Is this true? If it's not true, again, like I said, water off a duck's back. Don't let it weigh you down. Don't let it get in your feathers and ruffle you. Just say, okay, onward. It's going to be okay. It really is fine.
Onward, Christian soldier. You know the song?
I do.
Okay.
And on that note.
Do you want to sing it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I will bless everyone's ears by not singing.
Okay. So bye. On that note. No, Becky's going to go teach her class. So we got through three, I think.
That's good.
We got through three. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Not bad. All right. Until next time, we'll continue working through these because we have quite a few more. I actually really have enjoyed seeing what your thoughts are, because it really does give a sense of camaraderie.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, oh, other people have felt the same way. Other people are wondering how to go about this the same way that I have wondered about it. So it's been fun to talk through it all. So anyways, thank you for your questions.